Hello, you are listening to On The Topic. Well, let's kick things off with a nice lengthy intro. If you're listening to this at the time of release, it is Easter. And apparently you're not supposed to eat an entire Easter egg in one sitting. But guess what? I'm going to go unhinge my jaw and I'm going to devour those Easter eggs in one whack. I'm Dan.
That's disgusting. And I am a little bit sleep deprived and recovering from all manner of coughs and colds, but it's that time of year, and I'm Alex. And it's been a couple of weeks.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
We've been up to a lot, well, quite a lot, really. How do you want to do this catch up?
Well,
dice train?
We're back a little bit later than we sort of anticipated. We're going to try and do an episode before I went to Tokyo.
Yep.
Ended up with some health problems. So let's rewind. So December 23. Turns out I've got high blood pressure.
Oh.
Not good. Well, it's hereditary. There was no way of me escaping this. I knew this day would always come. And
eventually get you.
It eventually got me. And I started a course of tablets called Ramipril, which is apparently the first tablet they will prescribe you for blood pressure. Now, 5 days in, I came out with rashes, swollen eyelids, and I looked pretty worse for wear. I think you saw me just before I went to Tokyo.
You did. You've looked better, especially as you're about to embark on quite a long plane journey. Mm. I was a little bit worried for you.
But I got prescribed antihistamines and a different course of blood pressure tablets, so all sorted. But
you got a bit of colour back in your face, looking good.
Definitely a lot brighter and happier.
Sprightly.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
Of course, went to Japan.
You did?
Absolutely wild, like it's bonkers.
So it's always been on our hit list, and we're really keen to go. If you could summarise it in a sentence, and I will hold you to that.
Okay.
But if you could summarise what... Is it just Tokyo you've been to at the minute?
Yeah, it's just Tokyo. Okay. We did go outside on our last full day. Mm. So we were on a bus tour around Mount Fuji. Didn't see Mount Fuji because...
No, often you don't, apparently.
It snowed.
Yeah.
Which is also quite rare for that region. Mm. But yeah.
But if you had to summarise in Tokyo... How would you, in a sentence, for those perhaps who have never been or perhaps haven't even thought to perhaps go that part of the world?
It's clean. It's tidy. There's not... You don't really see a bin because the people are encouraged to take their rubbish home to recycle.
Okay. Yeah.
So you don't really see any rubbish on the streets. I mean, there was one or two days we went out, like the morning after, I guess, from a good night out with all the Japanese.
Yeah.
And there was maybe a bit of clutter. By lunchtime, it was clean again.
Could eat your dinner off it.
You could. You genuinely could. Even the tube, like the trains, they're so clean. Not like the
and on time, right? They run to time.
They run to time.
I've heard they unlike in this country where you got to fight for a refund if it's delayed. In Japan, I hear that if it leaves early, you get an apologetic email and a part refund. If it leaves a couple of seconds early, then it's scheduled to.
Yeah. And those trains are so clean. I mean, you go on the London Underground, it's filth.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's, you're taking the anti-back and you're hoping not to contract something horrific when you visit that city. Mm. I do love London, but yeah, it's pretty dirty, pretty grim.
They're very friendly. They're quite strict. So there was one day we went to the Marathon Expo for my behalf, so she got a race number and go do a little bit of shopping.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to leave. I had to go to the toilet. I couldn't get back into the expo. I said, I'd messaged her. I said, I'll wait for you outside. So I sat against the wall, just sat on my phone, managed to hook onto Wi-Fi, just browsing. And a steward comes over and said, you can't sit there. You're in a stadium. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. So I scooched and I behaved myself.
Oh, wow.
Could have done the typical British thing, like, nah, mate, nah.
Yeah, I'm all right, bruv.
Yeah, exactly.
So where were you supposed to stand if it wasn't where you were?
I don't really know, to be honest. I just went back outside where there was like benches and stuff and just sat down there. But yeah, they are quite strict.
Everything has a home, I get the impression.
Mm.
Very prim and proper.
And I mean, there was a lot of hustle and bustle, very busy. We went to Disneyland one day and like even... You go to like the shops in like Paris or... you know, the one in Florida, you don't really see a Disney shop that busy.
Okay.
But people were just piling in for the merch.
Oh, wow.
It's absolutely bonkers.
Good.
The travelling's horrendous, like going to and from.
Hmm.
You know, 13, 14-hour flights, but do you know what? It was worth it.
Yeah, good. That's really good.
And then less luxurious last week, although a very nice city, we went to Oxford. Quite with the Catch Me Comic Boys.
Oh, yeah.
For the morning, which was quite nice. I'm still trying to persuade them to go into the studio just to re-record some music, but I don't think it's happening, Alex.
Chip away, and eventually they might give in.
Yeah. Although I'm sort of quite honoured to say, during our downtime, I helped my friend Todd, who I was in the band with, set up his podcast, Cool Careers Podcast. He doesn't need me anymore, but
he's flying.
Yeah, bless him.
Good.
He called me up for some advice, and I said, "Well, have you got a logo? I mean, have you got a theme song? Have you got this and that?" He sort of looked at me a bit bewildered on this phone call, and do you know what? He went out and he smashed it.
Good on him.
He's got about 3 or 4 episodes in. He releases an episode every Friday. He's got some cool guests, as you'd imagine, Cool Careers Podcast. Last week, I think he had someone that works in creative at BrewDog.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, so he's doing well, bless him.
Wow.
So I've let him loose now. He doesn't need me. He comes to me for advice every now and again, but no, he doesn't need me. He's flying. He's all good.
He's left the nest.
Yeah.
He spread his wings and he's off. He's flying.
That's it.
Good on him. Excellent.
What else? TV.
Oh, yeah.
What have you been up to? What have you been watching? Because I'm pretty sure people are already sick of like the first 7 minutes of me rambling on about...
No, it's interesting. So in order to answer this question, I guess we'll go back to I guess, just before we were due to record and towards the last episode. So we have another member of our family.
Yes.
A little baby girl. So she's joined our family. She's, at the time of recording, 10 weeks old. So, yeah, it's been a bit busy. Yeah, in the household here, but it's been wonderful. It's been fantastic as always, but yeah, been very, very busy, and with that, you know, some tired nights, long days, but yeah, it's if you spoke to any parent, they'd say it's worth it. And it is. So yeah, it's been just been busy bedding in and understanding, you know, what family life looks like now with another kid in the house. But it's great. It's really good. But As you do when you have a child, I had some time off at the beginning and I've got some more time off now. Really, really fortunate. I've taken to, when I'm doing the feeding or looking after her, watching a bit of Netflix.
Yeah.
And I've gone back to watching Suits.
Ah, it's so good.
And I think I must have, because I don't really recall season 5, where I am at the minute, where Mike gets found out and ends up in prison.
Yes, yeah.
Now, look, that might be the spoiler for some people. I'm not going to do the spoiler klaxon. It's been out for a long time. The last season is due to come out on Netflix. So look, it is what it is. I'm sorry if that was a bombshell for you, but I mean, the guy was literally, it was written from the first season, was going to get found out. And he did.
Just got a photographic memory. You remembered the books.
Yeah.
I still remember the moment he walks in and he's pitching it to Harvey, isn't he? He's like,
yeah.
And I was like, we should hire you. Jesus, I'll give you the 10 grand signing bonus now. I was like, oh yeah. It's such a good series.
It's brilliant.
That was one of our COVID binge watches. It's just phenomenal.
Yeah. I remember bits, because it's been quite a few years now since I've seen it, maybe 5 or so years. But I blast all through the seasons, because of course, you know, Netflix, just let it continue and tick over. And I'm on season 5 at the minute. And thoroughly enjoying it. I mean, you know, they're all fantastic actors. By what is it going to be? 70, 80 episodes so far in.
Yeah.
They've got great backstories. You know, the actors have got great charisma between them. You can tell they're having fun. Mm. And yeah, it's great. So yeah, I've been watching a bit of that. I started X-Men. 97.
Ah, oh, it's phenomenal. Did you get that nostalgia that you felt as a 19-year-old kid?
But it's got a little bit more polish, and I don't think that's a bad thing. So I think it's it has its callback to the 90s.
Yeah.
And it feels, I think someone summarised it really, really well, and I can't really do it justice, but I think they said it's familiar, it's nostalgic, familiar but new.
Yes. Yeah,
and I think it is, because, you know, if you see the artwork, it's still hand-drawn. It's still hand-drawn. It's not CGI. So you still kind of got that aesthetic.
You've still got the same voice actors as well, I think, apart from one of them that passed away, yeah.
Okay. But you can see that it's got a crispness to it. Of course it does, because it's not on, you know, CRT square TV now. It's widescreen. But it's really good.
I love it.
And it's a continuation almost a couple of weeks or months on from, you know, the season finale back in the 90s. So I think they're on episode 3 this week.
Yes.
I've nearly finished episode 1. Really enjoying it. And I think, you know, they did some characters are dirty, perhaps, in the 90s.
Yeah.
And, you know, what they've done with Cyclops, I think, is spot on. Because in the comics, he steps up.
Yeah, he does.
When Xavier decides to go off to, was it the Shi'ar a couple of times? Yeah. Or he ends up being dead but not dead, as it happens in this series. And he always steps in and leads the X-Men. Mm-hmm. I think he has in recent times, actually. And it's just so good.
Yeah. Oh, it's just... It just hits that nostalgia. I saw a picture of someone actually watching it, and he was sat on the floor with his legs crossed. He said, "I used to do this when I was a kid, and I'm still doing it now."
Yeah,
as a 37-year-old man. It's like, yeah, I can really appreciate that.
That is so good. So yeah, I mean, they're all on Disney Plus. So if you haven't seen any, or I'm not quite sure where you've been for the last 30 years, unless you're younger than age. But anyway, you should see them. You should see at least one episode of X-Men, so they're all on there in the latest series, X-Men 97.
I say, the original series was another COVID binge. As soon as Disney Plus came out, me and my half were watching it.
Yeah.
We just both love it.
Well, I do have a slight beef with Disney Plus at the minute, Dan.
Oi, oi.
I've just renewed my subscription, and I swear it's like an extra 10 or 15 quid a year.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It's disgusting. And that's the middle tier. That's not the adverts. I refuse to pay for a package that has adverts.
Nah, I can't do that. It's just my head in.
You do that on free in the UK. You have, you know, like ITVX, or you have less iPlayer, because obviously that's government funded, but you still have their adverts for their programmes, and you can't skip those. Why would I pay for the privilege? That's not. So yeah, it's my fault what I'm saying, but I refuse to have the adverts. But yeah, it's a lot of money.
Because it was about 60 quid, wasn't it, when it first came out?
Over a ton now.
Is it?
Yeah. Jesus. And I'm not joking. I had a long old thing. I was like, is this worth it? And I think it just about is. But a cost of living crisis, everything's going up. You're like, Disney, like, how can you justify that? I know they're creating lots of original content, and they've got the star part of it, and they've got all those other things. No doubt they've got to pay for licenses to all the, you know, the publishers of the movies that they've got on that platform. But I don't know, man. I actually had to think about it. I've never done that with Disney before.
I don't hugely watch the Star Wars stuff, to be honest. I'm always there for the Marvel content, but this year we're not getting much MCU content,
and I think that's for good reason. And we still haven't done our MCU review, and probably we should do in the next couple of weeks. But I don't think that's a bad thing. But you're right, that's primarily why I have Disney Plus. But I don't know, man, like, if next year is the same amount, I'm on the fence. I don't know. Because it all does add up. I know people say that. You say, you know, you've got Netflix, or you've got Prime, you've got this and that, and you may, I'm not condoning this, listener, but you might share logons, and that spreads the cost. But it's a big wedge, though, Dan, for a year.
For corporate greed, you should share your passwords, 100%.
Some might say, Dan, because I can't be affiliated with someone on this podcast who clearly endorses that, but some might say that.
No.
But yeah, I don't know, man. But anyway, yes, that's what I've been watching. How about yourself?
A lot of WWE.
Oh, yeah?
We are really
good. Mostly men in spandex?
Yep, 100%. I know sweaty. People go, wrestling's fake. Well, guess what? So is everything else. But
It's basically theatre. I'm not insulting anyone by saying it, right?
No, it's theatre.
It's essentially theatre.
Just enjoy the theatrics.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's entertainment and it's drama.
Like soap, but then they're all duking out in the ring or beating the shit out of each other backstage. I'm there for it, and The Rock's just come back, so they
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Yeah,
that's the one.
Yeah,
we are really cooking. Like this year,
can you smell what he's cooking?
Yeah,
yeah.
So The Rock's now part of the TKO board, which owns WWE,
mm-hmm.
but he's come back as this final boss, and you've got the hero Cody Rhodes, who's going to be fighting The Rock's cousin at WrestleMania again this year for the title. Roman Reigns has held the title for 1,300 odd days. But The Rock is like, you're not getting that title off my cousin. And this week on Raw, sorry, spoilers, if you are a wrestling fan and you haven't seen it yet, he kicks the shit out of Cody Rhodes. Actually, no, that's a lie. He comes out, Cody Rhodes is doing his old like the promo to the audience. He's like, I need you with me at WrestleMania. I need your help. Rock comes out, doesn't say a word, but you see him say something off camera, like on camera.
Yeah.
But it's not picked up, it's not audible. Off mic. And what he said was, tonight I'm going to make you bleed. End of the show, all hell breaks loose in this like last match. Cody Rhodes is duking out with one of the other cousins. I mean, his family's huge, by the way, Alex.
Okay. Gets outside. They're not actually related, right?
I don't think they are, but they call themselves the Bloodline. Okay. So I think there is something in the family tree that connects them. Okay. I don't really know. It's all
For story purposes, they are.
For story purposes, yeah. So he's juking out, and then all of a sudden, The Rock comes out of nowhere, throws a bin at Cody Rhodes.
Wow.
Blood everywhere, and he's juking it out. He's beating the crap out of Cody Rhodes.
Yeah.
Throwing him against the bus, everything. And he's like, chatting shit about his mum as well. He's like, look at your son. Look at your son, Mama Rhodes. And like,
you can't bring someone's mum into it.
No. He's literally like the final boss.
Wow.
He's even calling himself the final boss in his wrestling posts on Instagram. So there's so much good stuff going on right now. And if you're a wrestling fan, it's a good time to be a wrestling fan. And the other thing I've been watching was Monarch, Legacy of Monsters.
I watched the first episode of that, and then my Apple TV Plus subscription ran out.
Oh.
But highly polished, right?
Yeah, it's really good. It sort of ties this bridge between after Kong Skull Island up to the first,
which is a great film.
It's really
highly underrated, I think.
And it goes just past Godzilla.
Sorry, Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston.
And Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, quality.
So after the world-shattering revelation that monsters are real, two siblings follow in their father's footsteps to uncover their family's connection to the secretive organisation known as Monarch.
And sorry, it's John Goodman, isn't it, who is the old guy at the beginning?
Yeah. His younger character appears in this.
Right.
I can't remember who plays him. It's one of these... I'll do the listing. It's got Anna Sawai, Kiersey Clemons, Ren Watabi, Kurt and Wyatt Russell. They play the same character.
Yes, Wyatt Russell, isn't it? Yes.
Wyatt plays the younger version
of his dad.
Kurt.
Yeah.
People going, the casting's spot on. Like, how do they do this? It's because they're father and son.
Yeah, they've actually got genes.
Mary Yamamoto, Anders Holm, Joe Tippett, and Eliza Lasowski.
Lasowski?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
It's really good. I still need to watch the final two episodes, but it's very enjoyable. Not enough Godzilla for me, though.
No.
Not enough monster action.
Especially you've just come from the land of Godzilla.
Yeah. We found a road, actually, in Japan, where there is a massive Godzilla-like peering out from the buildings.
Oh, amazing.
I might just share that on socials.
I think you're going to have to.
I put the picture up. It was our first day, actually. We'd just got in Japan after a mega-long flight. Decided to go get McDonald's, as you do when you're in Japan. And we found the street, found the Godzilla. I put the picture up, and my mate just posted, fucking Godzilla!
He's there?
He's there.
Did it make any noise? Was it animatronic, or was it...
No, it's just idle. Just idle.
Static. Okay, but still cool.
Yeah.
Super cool.
What's really odd, actually, going back to Japan, the things you expect to see a lot of, you don't see a lot of.
Okay, like...
Pokemon.
Because it is big over there.
It's massive.
It's really big.
Nintendo, didn't really see a lot of that over there. Maybe we're just in the wrong places, I don't know.
Okay.
Weird. Yeah. But that was it, really, for television. Didn't really spend a lot of money in Japan, there just wasn't much for me there, and I ended up coming home and buy a PS5.
as you do. You go on holiday, you come back with change, which is quite rare, and you sink it into a lovely console.
Yep, only a second-hand one, but I bought Spider-Man 2.
Brilliant game.
Which we were going to talk about, obviously. And Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, which I started playing, but I felt really overwhelmed in the open world.
Oh, right.
So I've just started with Spider-Man, which is just, it's fantastic. Let's just appreciate for a moment that you can use some web wings now and glide through the through New York.
I mean, web swinging has really developed since, you know, the 2000s when the first kind of Spider-Man games came out on the PlayStation. They are obviously, as you expect, different games, but because they've expanded the map, so you had parts of Manhattan and Queens, bits of Queens now, don't you?
Yeah.
Whereas they didn't have before. So they were thinking, well, this web swing is quite fast, and obviously it could be fast depending on, you know, how good you are, but it could be faster. So yeah, they've come up with this. And I was a bit dubious at first when you're first introduced to in the first 5 minutes of the game, in fact.
Literally, for the Sandman bosses.
Yeah. Oh, it's chef's kiss.
We need to go back to favourite bosses, because I think in our Volume 1, I said the Kingpin was a good fight.
Again, open the game.
Yeah. Open the game, but the Sandman boss fight is brilliant, because you're flipping really between both Miles and Peter, and you're gliding and
dodging and
thrown through buildings and fighting little Sandmen.
Yeah, it's really, really good. But yeah, the wings, I think, really works, actually, and just makes it more fun to traverse such a large space. And it is full of stuff to do. You know, there's still random events, and there's lots of side activities, which actually, they still cap you at certain stages, so you can do all the side missions. And when you've done that, you can then do the next main mission, and that then springs off more side missions. But I end up doing more of the side missions to enjoy myself, and I pace myself, because it's just a really good open world game. And you got the random crimes. It's fun. It's real fun.
And you get some real shocks.
Storyline wise, or just generally?
Storyline wise,
yeah.
I think is it fair to say it'll be a spoiler?
Yeah, best not to. But we did talk about it over WhatsApp, and there are some shocking. You're right, you don't expect it.
It was really brutal.
And people do meet their demise, and you're like, oh, that's.
Didn't see that coming.
Because it's in its own universe, in its own right. It's kind of uncharted territory. And they can do anything they want with the material. It's quite refreshing, actually, because you're playing the game, and again, it's familiar, but it hasn't been done before.
No. I did quite like that Harry Osborn is Venom.
Yes.
I know that's not really a spoiler, because that was already teased in Spider-Man 1 in a cutscene. But I sort of quite like that it is its own entity, and they've got their own, I suppose, like playing room with that stuff.
Yeah, 100%. And we still haven't really seen Norman. He's been threatened the first one. He's been more than threatened in the second, towards the end of this outing. I'm really excited to see where they go with it, because Norman has a number of different ways of becoming the Goblin. In the Ultimate Universe, he's almost like a dragon, like the lizard. He's a fire-breathing, sentient dragon lizard thing.
Sort of looks like the Into the Spider-Verse, wasn't it?
Yeah,
a bit like that.
Yeah, no, totally. Yeah, when they're fighting out in the basically Large Hadron Collider.
Yeah.
Or you've got the more traditional, which is, you know, a man on the glider using tech, and they'll probably go with that one, I can imagine.
Yeah.
But even so, yeah, it's really exciting that you don't know where they're going. And it's the first time you see Kraven really properly on screen. Mm. I think they did it really well. And switch between those characters, just and tackling those two different storylines, is just so good.
Yeah, I was sort of a bit dubious about how do you go between both Spider-Man, but actually you can just change whenever you want.
And it's instant. It's absolutely instant. It just shows just the processing power of the PlayStation. And this is coming from someone who's got a Steam Deck, so PC, and also Xbox. I appreciate them all, but this game really does push.
There's no load time. It's just incredible.
Yeah, it's
you notice
it's all
it.
Quality. The other thing I was going to say was, have you played the mission with Miles' girlfriend?
No.
Okay, I won't say anything. But that, I think, is my favourite mission. Because I think it's very well handled. I won't say any more. Perhaps we'll revisit another time. But if perhaps the listeners play Spider-Man 2, they know what I'm talking about. But it's very well done.
I've only got up to the bit where we've been to the fun fair with Harry and
That's
Mary
good.
Jane. That
That's
was
good.
A lot of fun. And then
you go on all the different rides. And
then we've just gone back to the lab and... You know, Harry's obviously sort of testing out his new powers.
Yeah.
So I'm quite excited to see.
They grab pizza at the end.
But I did complete Miles Morales, I think, just after the last time we recorded.
Okay.
That ending literally had me bawling.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
But again, it's a bite-sized Spider-Man game. It's really well done.
Yeah.
None of that was filler. Really well done.
Turns out so beautifully.
I was going to say, I've been smashing Helldivers 2, Dan.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Tell me more, because I did look at a couple of YouTube videos. I was like, I'm not sure that's for me, but you have to try and tell
me. No, it is. So essentially, I try to think of the best way to describe this. In a nutshell, you can play solo, but it'd be quite difficult. It's predominantly a multiplayer game. You have a third person, but as you're shooting, you can switch to first person. Futuristic title, and basically, you are a human of Super Earth. Turns out Super Earth are a bit of fascist and they want to take over the rest of the universe. We're the bad guys.
Oh.
But he does it tongue in cheek and it's very self aware, so it's quite cynical. but effectively you're fighting on two fronts at the moment. At time of recording, which is the bugs. If you've seen Starship Troopers, it's effectively that.
Awesome.
You're a grunt with a gun shooting bugs who want to kill you and they've got large claws. You do missions where you've got to take out outposts or take out nests, or you've got to do this. But every mission ends up in you having to evac. So you call the evac and you get swarmed and you've got to hold your position. You've got access to whatever you choose your loadout to be, so airstrikes or defensive turrets or special weapons. But I've had some nail-biting times where your dropship comes in, your Pelican, and is shooting down as it's trying to clear the landing area, and you're frantically blasting clips and lobbing grenades. And it's purposely got friendly fire off. I never understand which is the right way around. But basically, you can kill your peers very quickly.
Oh, Christ.
You know, it's not like you walk in the way and the bullets just go through you or bounce off you. No, you're dead.
Oh dear.
There's no way of turning that on or off depending on, I don't know which way it works. But you have a number of different call-ins, so you can call yourself back in. So you're basically, if that person's died, you just get the next grunt who gets basically thawed out in the in-game world, thawed out and then dropped straight back into where you were before, and you continue the fight.
Oh wow.
And it's really good. Now that in itself is really fun, and you collect staff as you go throughout this mission, and missions vary and different objectives. And as you go, you can unlock certain weapons, and say, or certain airstrikes, or this and that. But more metaphysically, more on a larger scale, it's a bit like D&D.
Okay.
In as much as you've got Joel. Now, Joel is apparently a name given to the lead developer of Arrowhead Studios, who do the game. And he's basically the game's master. So on this map of quadrants and sections, he'll give you a major order, and that's where the community's got to go to a certain planet and eradicate the baddies. I should say the other faction at the moment is the automatons, which are basically robots like Terminators. The whole planet of Terminators, they've got guns.
What?
And it's like robot Vietnam. It's terrifying. You've got these glowing red automatons running at you shooting, and you've got to shoot them back and dive, and it's really good. Basically, Joel will say, right, today you've got this major order, it's going to take 3 days. By those 3 days, you need to have liberated this planet and held it, this planet and held it, and this planet and held it. Or you've got to do this set of mission. So the community driven missions, you can still play whatever you want, you don't have to do that, but if you do, you're rewarded with medals, and those medals then you can unlock on war bonds. So everyone's played COD, war bonds allow you to unlock next armors or cosmetics or guns, and you don't have to pay a penny. Once you pay for the game, which in the UK is $34.99, cheaper, probably 50% cheaper than a AAA title, but I'd say arguably better than those, you can very quickly earn in-game credit, so you don't actually have to pay you a penny. And when you complete those orders, then you get rewarded with your medals, and you unlock the guns and all the rest of it. but very quickly they're going to start to introduce other baddies and other enemies of that type, and it's all story driven. So it's a shooter, third person shooter at heart, and it's a really good kind of team playing mechanic. But more broadly than that, it's like a community D&D game.
Yeah.
Where there's this guy who's controlling stuff, and you don't know what he's got planned, but they're dropping in new content, so new vehicles and mechs.
Oh, nice.
New weapons, and it's all for free. You've all paid for it, and they'll never be behind a paywall.
Not like the Avengers, then.
Please don't say it's disgusting words in this on this podcast. But it's good fun. It's just good fun, and you can have a quick 20 minutes or half an hour, or you can spend hours on it playing with your mates. It's a good laugh. So I can highly recommend it. Never know, Dan, I might try and convince you, but it's really good fun.
It's payday today at the time of recording, so it is. You could swing me.
I'll send you some videos and we'll see if we can try and get you you hooked. But it's a good laugh. So yeah, that's had my attention actually predominantly for the last 3 weeks. Helldivers 2, I cannot recommend it enough.
Nice. Been listening to a bit of music actually.
Oh yeah.
At the time of recording, I think some of these might have been on the most anticipated.
Which is good, we need to tick those off.
Yeah, Neck Deep, self-titled album. I've been listening to that on repeat quite a lot. It's just an album of bangers. Literally non-skip. Go check it out. Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yellow Card did a collaboration with Hammock.
They're back now, aren't they, Yellow Card?
A hopeful sign. So it's just like a reimagining of some of the songs in their discography.
Lovely.
It's really nice. It's sort of quite lo-fi. Is that the best way to put it?
Okay, yeah.
Very... You could probably just listen to it and just chill. Just chill to it. It's just brilliant. 408.
Yes.
Hot Mess.
Yeah.
Really good album.
I mean, 408...
I mean, you recommended to me. Sort of picked them up.
I don't know how I came across them. It's probably one on the YouTube reel, but... Oh, it's so good, Dan, aren't they? Like, they're absolute bangers, and they're proper pop punk.
Yeah,
and it's the early noughties personified now in the 2020s, and it's just they're such a good band.
Yeah, agreed.
Such a good band.
Alkaline Trio, Blood, Hair, and Eyeballs. That's a really good.
Still
album.
Going, are they?
They're still going.
Oh, amazing.
Matt Skiba's obviously not in Blink anymore, so he's gone back, rekindled with his bandmates, and just dropped this absolute banger of an album. And something I picked up that turns 20 years old this year, Newfound Glory, Catalyst.
It's one of their best albums.
100%.
100%. There's only, I think, one or two that I like less songs-wise on that album, but otherwise... They're all phenomenal tracks.
Full of bangers. I mean, we got All Downhill From Here, This Disaster, Truth of My Youth.
Head On Collision. Which is a brilliant single they released.
Failure's Not Flattering.
Yeah.
It's just a good album. It's phenomenal.
It's raw and, it's full of emotion and it's fun. And it's just... It will remain to this day one of my most favourite albums of NFG.
I feel like it was pushed, or a lot of bands around that time were pushed by Blink-182 the previous year when they released their self-titled album.
Yeah.
You know, you had things like Obvious or I Miss You. And a lot of bands looked at that and went, oh, you can be grown up and do stuff like that. Oh, we're going to follow suit. And that was essentially Newfound Glory's album from there. And they sort of matured.
All the better for it, yeah.
What an album. 20 years old this year.
Yeah, it makes you feel old, man.
I think they're doing some tours, but but that's it, really.
For you, they say, last week, I was in the O2, Dan.
Yes, you saw John Mayer.
John Mayer did his solo, or doing his solo tour, was in Paris last night for the first time. He was in the O2.
How was it?
It's phenomenal. He hadn't been back since COVID, obviously. Solo tour, so it's all acoustic. There's a couple of times where he went to the piano, but he had the harmonica, but there's no band, just him.
Yeah.
And a lot of the songs that he did were familiar, but then because it's just himself, he would kind of do elongated instrumentals, or he'd change some of the words, and it was new but familiar, and it was really good. It's a good couple of hours. It's not your kind of stereotypical kind of concert. It's sat down and there's lots of guys with their girlfriends. But, you know, I'm uncomfortable enough in my own skin to be called out. But it's just a nice, chilled evening. He commented, I mean, I think he says it about every show, but it's basically, it's like being in his lounge and he's playing to you.
Yeah.
It's quite intimate, which is odd because you're with like 50,000 other people in the big stadium in London. But it's so good, Dan.
Where were your seats? Did you have the nosebleed seats? Or were you,
No. I was just below mid-tier, just underneath the VIP boxes.
Oh, nice.
A couple of them empty. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'll go in there. Don't have to have any hospitality. I'll just sit there in the comfy seats with the lovely view. But, we had decent seats. It's just quality.
I've been in the O2 and in the nosebleed seats.
I did for Lee Evans back in... I think it was about 2006, 2007 when he was still doing stand-up. Thank God for those screens, all I can say. But when you're climbing, it's really quite steep. And they're quite hard stairs. I mean, you might go, obviously, access stairs, but they're like proper concrete stairs.
Yeah.
If you trip or fall down, you are tumbling.
That's going to hurt.
That's going to leave a mark.
Break something.
It's really quite steep. So, yeah, no, we weren't that high. But, it's quality.
Be there next month for some WWE wrestling content. Look forward to that.
Some steamy wrestling juiciness.
Yeah. Hopefully The Rock will be there. I'll duke out of him.
Probably. You will?
Yeah, 100%. I'm going to take him on.
So you've gone from Boy Scouts now to The Rock. I mean, that's quite a,
that's quite
a step up.
Steeper okay. Those steps in the OT.
I don't fancy your chances.
Nah, I don't think I do either. Probably people's elbow me and I'll be dead.
Yeah. Or you'll play dead. Is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, just faint.
Well, I don't think Cody Rhodes really had a chance this week, and I don't think I'd probably have less of a chance.
Yes. Sadly.
Never mind.
But yeah, that's been us, Dan.
That's it. What have we got coming up next? Well, we got this has been on the socials for a while. Saddest movie deaths.
Yeah, people cark it and it leaves us in tears. But which ones? And actually, we've got quite a lot of listener content.
We did, yeah. Got input. Got a few comments.
Yeah.
So looking forward to going through that episode.
It's going to be a good one.
What else? We're going to do The Mad Pooper.
The Mad Pooper.
Suggested to us by one listener. I think my friend sent over and I sent it to you on WhatsApp and you were like, yeah, why not? It's a bit of our humour.
Yeah.
You probably wondered, what is The Mad Pooper? Well, it is a woman... That was going
is that confirmed? We do know her identity.
No, we don't know the identity,
but we do know it's a woman.
We know it's a woman.
Okay.
And she going on the runs and defecating in people's gardens.
Cool. But I guess there's more to it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot more. I haven't started my notes for it yet, but I started reading up on it. It's quite odd.
Gross.
It is quite gross.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
But it's sort of humour, though, isn't it?
It is. It's left field, and it'll be part of the rabbit hole playlist. I try to think of the right term to use. I'm not sure if I'm quite looking forward to researching it, but I think it'd be an interesting read. So yeah, we'll be doing that one.
Yeah, we're going to do Kit Kat taste test from Japan.
We will. So you've come bag in hand, literally, to this episode. I'm going to rifle through and see what goodies we've got, and yeah, we're going to do a taste test.
Hopefully it'll be on video, so it'll be on YouTube, and I believe we can upload it to Spotify as a video as well.
I think you can. I've had a thought, Dan.
Go on.
You know we've been invited to that opening.
Yes.
Did you read what that opening was?
It's all sorts of creatives, isn't it?
It is. You think what I'm thinking?
I'm thinking what you're thinking.
Listen, basically, in the next couple of weeks, we've been invited to a grand opening of a new venue. In Portsmouth, which effectively, as Dan said, it's for creatives. But as part of one of those creatives, is a recording studio, podcast studio. So we might see whether we can try and get a cheeky little visit in there at the point. Just need to have a quick look. Pool House.
Yes, that was
Pool House UK in Southsea. It's a Pool House opening event. So we're going to be going along to said event. Taya has invited us, so we'll be there.
Thanks,
some
Taya.
Free nibbles, yeah, thanks, Taya. Free nibbles and big wigging and rubbing shoulders with the creatives of Southsea and see if they can do us a solid.
Better take some stickers and magnets with us.
Oh yeah, good idea.
Try and bribe them.
Share some merch. I've got Pixar Theory as well, right?
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be a dark one, but I know a lot of the films sort of tie into each other.
Yeah, it's all connected, listener. We're not talking about the MCU now. We're talking about Disney Pixar films. Mm. And yes, yeah, some of them are pretty dark.
Yeah. Quite look forward to diving into that one.
Yeah.
But if you want to keep an eye on those socials, we are on Facebook. This has been a while. Facebook, X, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, at On The Topic Pod.
Threads.
Threads, yeah, yep. Same handle. We've got Gmail, which is on the podcast at gmail.com, and then Alex, we've got WordPress and YouTube.
Yeah, so WordPress is on topicpodcast.wordpress.com. On there is our ugly mugs, our bios, our back catalogue, and our newsletter, so you can subscribe, be notified when there's a new drop, and there's some bonus content there as well.
Yes.
So I talk about some nostalgia recently from my Christmas present. It's Christmas, birthday present? Birthday
yeah.
present. That Dan's, you can't see this, and I'm pointing to a lovely Wolverine that's adorning my desk here in the podcast studio. So there's some bits about that. We'll talk about our fifth birthday?
Yes.
And we had some delightful nibbles.
Some glorious content on that.
That was a really good visit out to the customs house.
Sixth birthday.
I know, man. Crap, it's effectively next month.
Shit, it is, isn't it? Yeah,
gotta think about that. That's what we're gonna be doing anyway. So that's all on there, so you can go and peruse and have a look. And yeah, we've got YouTube, so every single episode from OTT number one to what is now 103, 104, yeah. Is on there. All you gotta do is go and search for On Topic Podcast or at OTTGITS.
Get in the sea, listener.
And you can stream and listen to all of our episodes on there. Don't forget though, when you visit, hit the subscribe button and smash that notification bell, and you'll be notified when a new episode drops.
Yes, indeed. Go do that,
please.
And for another week, well, I've been Dan. I don't really know I'm going to see this episode out. I'm just Dan.
And I'm going to go and try and get some shut eye. But we'll be back for another delicious, timely episode. I'm Alex.
We'll see you next time.